banners that are hanging up in here, that's what they're from. Obviously, like I said today, the title of is Mighty God. And if you've got your Bibles, you can flip to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and we'll read through that first verse. If you don't have a Bible, it's on the screen behind me. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And so as we look at this verse, as this scripture, we see this prophecy was told like 700 years before Jesus was born. And it's always great to be able to talk and talk about how great and mighty our God was. And last week we talked about how we have this wonderful counselor that we can always go to. We have a God that, a Savior, a Messiah that's been through things, has been through trials and tribulations, and He knows exactly what we're going through. But today we want to talk about how Jesus is this mighty God. And how many of you guys like nature, like to be out in nature? I love to be out in nature. And one of the most amazing things that I've been to, we took a trip. I know I've mentioned it here before on here, but it made such an impression on me is when we made a drive through Northern California, up through Northern Nevada, through Lake Tahoe, up in that area of the part of the United States. And, you know, some of those scenes that we saw there were just absolutely amazing and gorgeous. And we look at that and we saw just God's power and His beauty. And the whole scenery just caused me just to basically step back and worship Him because of what He did and how great that scene was and how mighty He is. And you can see God's fingerprints in everything that we look around, especially when we look into nature. You see God's fingerprints in all of it. Some of you guys may see it in some of the sunsets here. You got great sunsets that happen, especially when there's a little bit of cloud layer, you know, and it just turns orange and pink and purple, and it's just amazing to see. You see it in the stars. When you look up at night and you see the vast amount of stars that are there and how God has painted those, how He's placed every one of those. And we can step back and look at nature and see these things and see how mighty our God is to create all of these things before us. And you know, He created it even for us to be in awe of, to have beauty of, to see it and just be amazed at. And Jeremiah talks a little bit about this. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17. And he starts off with this one word, ah. You know, that ah is great. It's kind of like a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew for like a painful groan. I want everybody to get into it. So I want you to do it. One, two, three. Ah, you know, it's like now you got to say it like it's painful, like you just got a bit burned by a grill. Ah, you know, painful groan, that's what it was. And Jeremiah starts off this way. He says, "Ah, Lord God, You Yourself made the heavens and earth by Your great power." By His what? Great what? Power. "And with Your outstretched arm," that's what He made them with. "Nothing is too difficult for You." And when we look at this, we have to think and step back and say that nothing is too hard for God. Everything that He's put out there, nothing is past His power, His ability to overcome and do. Last week we talked about problems that we may have, things that we may be going through, financial issues, and a lot of times in this time of year, this Christmas season, all those things seem to pile up, especially if it's financial. Because we think about, oh, I need to get presents for my mom or my dad or my children or my aunts and uncles, whatever. And we want to do these gifts and give. And it kind of compounds all these problems. And last week we talked about how we have a wonderful counselor in Jesus that we can go to, that He's not removed from, that He's not far off from, that He's right there for us. And we have this wonderful counselor that we can talk to, and He knows what we go through. But this week, we want to focus on how we have a mighty God that no matter how many problems we may have, no matter how many hurts that we have in our life, that nothing is too big for Him. Nothing is beyond His power. And we can be sure of that. All of the problems that we may have in our marriage, all the problems we may have in our finances, all the problems we have in our health, problems we may have in relationships with other people, none of them are too big for Him. He is the mighty God. So I want to talk about some characteristics of God before we talk about this. And this Latin word, if you take that one little word from Jeremiah, that ah, that he starts off with, if you translate that into Latin, it's omni, which is kind of amazing. And that is a characteristic that describes a lot of God's characteristics. Omni means everything, all, if you want to put it in another word. But the first characteristic of God that we have is that He is omniscient. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows everything that's out there, everything from the past, everything that's going to be in the future. He knows everything about everybody. He knows your thoughts. He knows your plans. He knows what's coming up next in your life. He knows where you're going to eat lunch before you even think about eating lunch. But everybody's going to eat lunch here today, right? There we go. All right, we got lunch after this service. So He knows everything about you and about what you're going to do. He's omniscient. The second characteristic of God is He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is all places at all times. And the amazing thing is that right now on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, we have churches all over the world that are meeting at times just like this right now. And He is in each and every place that God is, that people are gathered together for Him. He's present all over the place. No matter where you go, God will be there. If you're a believer in Christ, as the Holy Spirit dwells in you, God lives in you. He is there with you. So God is always, everywhere, every place, at all times. He's omnipresent. And the last thing that we see that God is, He's omnipotent. Omnipotent. He is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. He can do anything and all things. And this world is full of signs and wonders and miracles, and Scripture is full of miracles, things that we can look through at different times, and we can see that how powerful He actually is. He has control over nature. He has control over the supernatural. He has control over all things. He is all-powerful. There is nothing that is too hard for God. He is that. Here's a problem with this, though, is that many times we know this in our head, and if you've grown up in church and you've been in church for a long time, you know that God is omniscient. You know that God is omnipresent. You know that He's omnipotent. You know these things about God. You know it up here. But the problem is, a lot of times it doesn't translate to here. We don't show it in our heart. We don't show it in the way that we act. We don't show it in the things that we do each and every day. We see all the heartache that's out there. We see all the suffering that's going on. We get to a time like Christmas time. We see poverty that's in the world and say, God, what kind of an injustice is it that people can't even provide electricity or water for their homes? You know, it's easy for me to start throwing guilt on myself. Well, I'm doing this for my kids and I'm giving my kids presents and all these things when other people can't even provide the basic necessities of life. God, if You're all-powerful, why can't You stop this? The wars that are going on in Egypt right now, one of the bloodiest civil wars that nation's ever seen. God, if You're all-powerful, why can't You stop it? People with illnesses out there, and you say, God, why are You letting these good people go through these things? If You're all-powerful, why can't You heal them? And that's the problem that happens with so many of us. We wonder where His power is. We know that He's omniscient and omnipotent and all these other things, and we know this, but we say, God, where is Your power? We see the problems that people have, and I look for His power, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and I fast, and I pray for God to do something, to see something amazing happen, and we think, where is it? And you may have the same question. You may have that same question right now. You may be in a real tough spot. You may be having things going on in your life that you're questioning God and you're thinking, God, where are You? Why are You allowing this to happen in my life right now? And Christmas just makes it worse. I've got this dream that that I thought would be happening. This dream that should be here, that would be there, and it's not there. God, where is it? Where's your power? We're going to go through a journey in God's Word today. And we're going to see that God's power is real. That it is there. We may just not see it the way you want to. And so many times in our life that happens. We know that God's power is there, but it doesn't realize and doesn't come to fruit in the way that we think that it should. So today we're going to look at Jesus' power. And so how do we see Jesus' power in our lives? If you're taking notes, you can write these down. There's three ways that I'm going to show you today, talk about today. The first one is this. When we look at Jesus' power and we see Jesus' power works in you. It works in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, "For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for His good purpose." You see, God's power is working in you. If you're a believer of Christ, a follower of Christ, it is working in you. And it's so easy for us when we become Christians, when we say yes to Jesus, when we walk down an aisle and shake a preacher's hand and we get dunked in a baptism, it's easy for us to think that Christianity is all about me. I got saved because of me. Jesus, I want you to make my life easier. Jesus, I want you to take away my problems. I want you to fix the things that are going on in my life. That's why I think you're here for me. I want to be able to go to, you know, the lotto store and pick the right numbers and win the super jackpot, you know? There's people out there that think that way. That's what you're here for. But God's power is not to make your life easier. It's not for that. It's to work in us, to change us. It's to change our selfishness, to change our self-centeredness. And that's how God's power works. It's working in you to make you more like Christ, to have the same kind of love that Christ has, the same kind of compassion that Christ has, the same kind of peace that Christ has, the same kind of patience. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is what's changing inside of you. God's power is for real. It's working in you. But sometimes we just don't see it. What do we see? Well, we see other people getting all the breaks. We see other people getting all the things that are going on, the promotions, maybe at work, that you think you're in line for, that you need. Maybe the next job that you wish you could have. You see other people getting those things. You see other people making more money than you make. You see other people with a healthier family than you have. And you think, well, why isn't that happening to me? You think, well, God's put you on a shelf. He's forgotten you. Doesn't think about you anymore. And nothing seems to be happening in your life. And you question, where is the power of God in my life? Well, God's power is real because He's changing you. You're not the same as you were. You have more patience, more love, more peace, kindness, gentleness, self-control. You have more of these things. Jesus' power is working in you to change you to be more like Him. So Jesus works in you. The second thing Jesus' power does is it works for you. It works for you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. We have that one. There it is. "He gives strength to the weary and strengthens the powerless. Youth may faint and grow weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Very famous verse. A lot of people have heard that, and you probably know that verse. But it says, "For those who hope on the Lord, those who trust in God, will renew their strength, soar like eagles." And this may be you. You may be tired. You may be weary. You may have no strength. You may be powerless this morning, tired, worn out. And it took everything possible for you just to walk through the doors this morning, to be here today. Well, the good news is this, is that when you put your hope and your power and your strength on Him, you trust in Him, He will give you that strength. He will give you that power to those who are weary. You know, there's times in your life that happens. When things just kind of fall apart and everything seems to be coming at the end, you may be frazzled and at your wit's end. I know there was a time in my life that happened for me. And I look back, and this was a few years ago. We had a large sum of money. Most of you guys know I was a farmer way before this, before I became a pastor. And we decided that it was in our best interest to sell off our property, the things that we did. We sold that property off, and we took a lot of that money, and we invested it with an individual in Las Vegas where we lived. And when we invested this money, you know, it was on a contract. Everything was drawn up. Everything was done. Everything was legal. Everything was supposed to be the way it was supposed to be. And about a six-month term, he was supposed to pay back the money with all the interest that was going to happen. Well, within the first month, I get an email from the guy. He says, listen, we're not going to be able to pay you your interest payment this month. And he said, as far as that goes, I'm not even sure when I'm going to be able to pay you your interest money or even pay you your money back, period. Long story short, we ended up losing six figures with this guy. He filed bankruptcy a few months later, which meant there was no way possible to ever get that back. You want to talk about a pit being crushed? To go from somebody that was very financially well off, that God was taking care of, and it took completely everything and wiped it all away in one stroke. That's no strength. There's no hope in that. But you see, what I did see was God's power begin to work in that situation. To go from despair and utter hopelessness and wondering, God, where are you in this place? I can look back on it and see that Jesus' power was at work for me, because I have never once not had. Our family has never once not been provided for. Our family has never once gone without, because He has always been there for us. He worked in me to get me through that time, to have the strength to go to the next step, just to even wake up the next morning, to providing for us and providing and working for me. And that's what Jesus' power does. He worked in me, changing my ability to have more faith in Him, to put my trust in Him, to provide, to make sure that He's going to be there for us. And He's provided for us all along the way. He's never failed, ever. Always been there. And I can look back and see that He worked in me and He worked for me, and continues to this day. You see, Paul understood this. Paul had a weakness. Paul had these trying times, these hard times, these handicaps, and he asked and begged God to take it away. He had problems and pains and issues, and three times he begged God, would you please just take this away from me? And God responded to him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in your weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more, Paul says this, about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So because of Christ, I am pleased in weakness, in insults and catastrophes and persecutions and in pressures. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God said, my grace is enough. My power is going to be perfected when you're weak. You're going to see me the most when you're at your lowest. When you think you can't get up in the morning, when you can't take that next step, when you can't look that person in the eye, when you don't know what's coming next, that's when my power is going to be at its greatest. And Paul understood that. He understood that. You know, Paul was one of the greatest men to ever live on this earth. One of the greatest Christians that ever walked. And that's how he summed it up. When I'm weak, then God, that's when you're strong. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. But I do know that God loves you. He cares for you. He has a plan for you. And His power is for real. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I know it. And it's working to change you. It's working in you. It's making you more like Him through everything that you go through. And it's working for you in every situation that you may face. When you're weak, God will make you strong, because His power works in you. The third way that Jesus' power works that we see is Jesus' power works through you. Acts 1:8 is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." You will receive power. You see, as a follower of Christ, Jesus gives you the power to be His witness to all the world, to every place. A couple weeks ago, we had a really good, amazing life group, small group in our home group, I guess, whatever you want to call it. It's probably one of the best ones we had, and it wasn't even what we were going to be supposed to be talking about. It just kind of came up. And one of the topic was sharing our faith with other people and talking to others about Jesus and sharing the gospel with them. And I encouraged our group to boldly proclaim Christ to the people that are in their circle of influence, those people that they know, maybe at work or their friends or whatever it may be. And we just had an amazing time of being able to encourage them. And if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, if you say, "Yes, I'm going to hang my hat on this Christian pole," then guess what? You are a minister of the gospel. You may not be standing up here behind a pulpit and preaching, but you are a minister of the gospel of Christ if you're a follower of Christ. That's what we're called to do, and God gives you the power to be that. He said it right there in Acts 1:8. He said, "I'm going to give you the power to work through you." To work through you. Every believer is a ministry. And that's my hope and my prayer for this church. Is that Calvary Church will be a conductor of the gospel. That every one of you will be transformed by the gospel. And be ready to share and witness to those around us. And speak that. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a business person, whether you're an employee, whether you're a boss, it doesn't matter. Every one of you, if you call yourself a Christian, you are a minister of Christ, no matter what you do. And Jesus' power is able to work through you, to work through you. Situations that I'm in that I know for a fact that God has worked in my life, that He has given me the power. I want to tell you one story. We talked about some stories that night, and I shared some things, some times that I had, and I kind of tried to decide which one I want to share this morning. But there was one time when I was in Brazil. Some of you obviously have heard it before, but I want to share it with everybody this morning. There was a time when I was in Brazil, and what we were doing, we were going door to door. We had an interpreter with us, and so it was myself and an interpreter, and we go door to door to door to door there in Brazil, just sharing the gospel with people that would listen. And kind of what you do in Brazil, all the houses have these walls around them. These walls, and they have gates, and then the houses on the inside. The walls on top of the walls have, it depends on if you're very wealthy, they have metal spikes sticking up so people can't crawl over. If you're not very wealthy, then they have broken glass that's poured into mortar on top of that so people can't crawl over. So there's no way to just kind of jump in. So to get people to come to the door, there's no doorbells. You stand at the gate and you clap. And once you clap, if somebody's inside, they come out. Well, we came up to this one house and we clapped, and this little girl, young girl, teenage girl, came out. And we began to talk to her. Well, we were on the coast. So it was the middle of summer, very humid, about, 99% humidity. And it was about 95 degrees, so it was very hot. And in the afternoon, little showers would come up and blow up. Well, just so happened about this time, a small little cloud came over the top of us, and it began to sprinkle rain. And so people in Brazil are extremely nice, very hospitable. She immediately said, well, why don't you guys come on in out of the rain and come in and finish talking to her. So we did. She opened up the gate. We came in, the interpreter and myself. His name was John. And we sat down, began to talk to the girl. And we'll just happens when we came in this one little room, there was a couch. The young girl sat down on the floor, and her father was there. And he sat down on the floor beside her as well. And there was a statue of Mary. I remember very, very distinctly there was a statue of Mary in this room. That was the only furniture that was in this little room. So we continued with the gospel message that day. And the girl was interested, and she was listening. And she was latching on to every word that was being said. And the father, all of a sudden, steps up. And he says something in Portuguese. And I turned to the interpreter and I said, so what he says? He said he's asking questions about something in creation, Genesis. And I said, well, we'll talk about that in just a minute. And so we started to go back with the conversation with the girl again. And the father interrupts again. Ask another question, this time something about prophecy and revelation. I said, well, we'll answer that in just a minute. And we go on back to carrying on with the gospel with the girl. And just a couple seconds later, he asks another question. And then another one. And then another one. And he's doing everything he can to interrupt and stop what's going on. And by this time, my patience wasn't as great as it is now. I got pretty frustrated. I got mad. I call it a holy righteous, a holy anger, right? It's what I call it. And I don't suggest you guys doing this if you're sharing the gospel with somebody. Again, we're talking about the power of God to give you the words to say at the right time. I firmly believe this is what God wanted me to say. I turned to the interpreter and I said, would you please tell this man? I will be glad to answer any question that he has as soon as I finish talking to his daughter. But if he does not let me finish talking to his daughter, and she doesn't come to Christ because of him, tell him that her blood is on his soul for eternity. Now, I don't know if he told him that or not. He said something to him and he stopped asking questions. I can't say that. Now, again, I don't recommend you saying that. I just believe that's what God told me to tell him. I've never said that to anybody else. I promise I haven't. That's just what happened. So he stops asking questions. We continue the conversation with the girl. We get to the end of the gospel message, and we ask her if she wants to make Jesus her Lord and Savior, and she said, yes, I do. And so I told John, I'd been working with John for 2 or 3 days. I said, John, you know how to lead her in a prayer for salvation. Can you just go ahead and do that? He said, yeah. So he begins to lead her in this prayer to ask Jesus to be Lord and Savior, and about one sentence in, a sentence and a half, I began to hear a whisper. And it got louder. And he began to repeat everything that that interpreter began to say. Not only did that girl give her life to Christ that morning, so did her father, who was doing everything possible to keep from her hearing. You see, that's the power of God working through you. And I can give you story after story after story of God stepping up in big ways and saying, you need to say this right now to this person that will turn the whole conversation and say, this will get this person to hear the gospel message that I want them to so desperately to hear. That I gave my son for them to hear. That was the sacrifice I made. God's power works through you. Take the message of Christ to the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, my speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom. And I can promise you that is not what happened that day. But my speech and my proclamation was with a demonstration of the Spirit and power, so that your faith may not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. As I stand up here, I don't think anybody is, but don't be impressed with my message. That's nothing to be impressed with. The only reason that I can stand before you and preach the gospel of Christ. The only reason I can stand before any person out there that I ever share the gospel with is not based on me, but it's based on the power of Christ. It's not on my wisdom. It's on His power. And it wasn't me in that situation, it was God. It was God telling me what to say, the words to say, the right time to say them. And it was His power that convicted that boy, that young girl, and that man to Christ. Convicted them to the marrow. It was His power that paved the way for salvation. It was His power that raised Christ from the dead. It was His power that gave us the way and the road to eternal life. And it was all because of Jesus and His power that they came to Christ that day. There's nothing special about me. I am amazed at what God has done and been able to do through me. I'm just a dirt farmer from Arkansas. That's it. I love Jesus. I just surrender to Him, surrender to His power. And never in a million years would I ever dream that these things that I've seen would happen because of me. It's all because of Him. It has nothing to do with me. Something extraordinary happens when His power comes in you and works for you and works through you. 2,000 years ago, He chose 12 ordinary men. People just like you, just like me. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were ordinary people. They had nothing special in the world's eyes at all. They weren't religious people. They weren't spiritual leaders. 12 ordinary men, and He took them, and He placed His power on them, and in them, and through them. They completely changed the world forever. They did extraordinary things. They saw people healed. They raised people from the dead. Just like us. We are those people. We're just like them. We are ordinary people that know an extraordinary God. We are ordinary people that follow a mighty God. We are ordinary people that know the powerful God. A God whose power can change everything. Look at what He did through those men. How much more do you think He can do through this many? How much more can He do with us? How many needs can be met around us? How many lives can be transformed through us? How many souls can have a hope for eternity because of us? It's all because of Him. It's all because of His power. It's all because of what He does inside of you. And all we have to do is allow the mighty God to work in us, to work for us, and to work through us. Let's pray. Father, You are the mighty God. Father, You are the one who is all-powerful. Lord, it is because of You that You have done so much for us. And Father, as we enter this time that we commit to You, Father, I know that there are people in this room that are hurting, that are struggling, that have problems, pains. Father, I know that there are people in this room that just don't have hope. Father, I pray right now that you begin to fill them with your power, that you begin to work in them, that you let them understand that there is nothing that is too big for you. There is no problem, no hurt, no pain, no issue that you can't be bigger than. Father, it's easy for us to know this in our head, but God, I pray that you translate that to our hearts this morning. Father, help us to understand. Help us in our weakness. Transform us through your power. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.